We are thrilled you could join us today for another message from God's Word with my dad, Pastor Salem. In today's sermon, angels, where did they come from? Dad details scripture about angels created and directed by God. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem. Want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're always so happy when the weekend comes around and we can come to your house or your place or wherever you live, someplace on the face of the earth, and worship with you and talk to you about Jesus, talk to you about God, wonderful, wonderful Savior. And today we're going to talk about angels. We hear so many people want to know about angels, so we'll talk about angels. And just let me say this, there's going to be a lot of references from the Bible, and so you maybe want to get your pencil and paper together, and maybe you can take down some of those verses. Also, if you can't get it all down, you can always get CDs or DVDs of any of the services. And at the close of the message, I'll tell you how you can do that. But let's look at some of our letters, because I know you like to hear them, and we just rejoice in them. And here's one from West Palm Beach, Florida. And listen to this one. And this is a letter, and this lady writes and said, I had a cousin diagnosed with leukemia. I witnessed to him in about 10 letters, sent him scripture and your new song newsletter. But it wasn't until you sent him your film, The Heart of a Shepherd, to watch that he finally gave his heart to Jesus. Before he died, he said that he'd see my sister in heaven. She passed away 1 month before he did. Until then, he was strictly a non-believer. So thank you for your motivated film and saving his soul. Jesus loves you, and we love you. And so The Heart of a Shepherd is a film that we have. It's our film, and it tells about how to accept Jesus. 10-year-old boy accepted the Lord. It was the story of my life, really. I accepted Jesus 10 years old, and then it tells of what Jesus can mean and how you can have Jesus in your life. And then because you maybe you want to order one, we're done. I'll give the address. Here's Clayton, California. Dear Pastor, I enjoy your service each Sunday from my small apartment. Listen to this. I am 101 years old, and God blesses me constantly. May I please have a copy of your DVD, Heart of a Shepherd? I'm legally blind. Well, 101 years old, I'm jealous of her. I'm only 97 and a half, and I hear she is 101. So my congratulations and best wishes. And look at what she's doing. She's getting this film, and she'll take it to people, have them listen to it and watch it, or maybe come to her apartment, and the film itself will tell the way of salvation and how to pray to accept Jesus. And she can help lead people to Christ at 101 years old. She's a missionary. God bless her. Here's Springer, Missouri. Please send me 3 more of your DVDs, Heart of a Shepherd. This DVD has been a blessing, and we have given several of to friends and loved ones. Our 92-year-old neighbor, who claims to be an atheist, grew up in Minnesota and South Dakota, now living here in Missouri for many years. We're praying that this film will touch his heart. And so let's everybody, this is in Missouri, Springer in Missouri, let's all over the world pray for this dear man, that he'll come to see Jesus, and come to see Jesus and worship Jesus and have his place in heaven. God can do it, and this film could very well be the means of doing it. Here's Arlington, Washington. Let's see. Please send me 4 DVDs of Heart of a Shepherd. 1 DVD will be shown at Monroe Prison. I have a friend who does a service at the prison. 1 DVD will go to Senior Care Home in Maryville, Washington. 1 DVD is going to Smoky Point Missionary Alliance Church. 1 DVD will be shown at different personal homes of neighbors and family and home relatives who are not Christians. Then he writes, he says, I am the Christmas tree grower in Washington. Well, God bless him. But he's doing a lot more business and a lot bigger business when he's then growing Christmas trees. And that is so important, because what is a Christmas without a Christmas tree? But now here he's doing something that's eternal. And it's the heart of a shepherd telling about how he came to Jesus, how he can be born again. And so we want one more. It tells us here, and it talks about God bless you. This is from Sand Springs, Oklahoma. And they write and say, God bless you and thank you for your monthly newsletter and the scripture sermon notes message. I use them as I teach the Bible lesson on our women's missions monthly meetings. I'm so thankful for you and the television ministry. And so what she's talking about is every month we send out a little Bible study. And this month about Jesus, my friend. And then next month is going to be about the storms of life, facing the storms of life. And I'll give you the address. Get your pencil and paper ready. I'll give you the address at the end of the service. And you can get this film free and postpaid, free and on a free will offering basis. And also our Bible study, free and postpaid. How can you beat that? But let's get this going on the angels. And again, I'm telling you, if you want CDs or DVDs of this message, we'll tell you how you can get them. And we send them on a free will offering basis. But I've been preaching now almost for 75 years. And when I started out, I talked about the angels and I talked about the devil. And I remember how they laughed at it and they poo-pooed it. And they said that I was some oddball or fanatic, because there was no such thing as the devil and there's no such thing as angels. But my friends, that is a different story today, because we've read public opinion polls that tell us there's a big interest on angels now, and about the future and of the supernatural and about the things to come. They have a horoscope in the newspapers. If you can imagine it, people have faith in a horoscope. And so books are all over the place. So it's a different world that I lived, that I began in, a different world it is now. So I want to talk about the angel and the angels. And let me tell you right off the bat, and make no bones about it, the only source of information that we have on angels is the Bible, the Word of God. And the rest is all dreams and hocus pocus and lights and mirrors and God knows what. But the only real information we have on angels is from the Bible, God's holy book. And there's a lot to be said about it. And so all you're going to know about angels comes from the Bible, because God himself is the author and he's given us the information. So, all right, let's take a look here. Where do angels come from anyway? Well, we don't have to guess about that. We know God tells us exactly where they came from. They came from the hand of God. God created them. Colossians 1, verse 16, God tells us, for by him, Christ, Jesus, by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And St. Paul says, the things that are in heaven, visible and invisible, that includes the angels. And they come from God. God created them. Listen to the psalmist as he talks about the angels. Psalm 148 in the opening verses. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him. Praise ye him, all ye angels. Praise him, all ye hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all the stars of light. Praise him, ye heaven of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens. And then this verse, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Everything creation comes from God's mouth, from God's hand. And that includes, of course, the angels. We have the same picture in Revelation chapter 4. The angelic beings are worshiping God, and they lay their crowns before the throne, and they say this, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. There can be no question about it. Angels were created by God. And may I remind you too, all the angels were created by God, including Lucifer. Originally, he was at the throne of God. He sinned against God, and he became the devil and Satan. And when Lucifer fell, he was cast out of heaven and out of from the throne of God, cast down to this earth in this area. And there was a host of angels that fell with him. Some Bible scholars think that a third of all the angels were followers of Lucifer, Satan, were cast out with him. They take that from Revelation 12, verse 4. And these fallen angels became demons, and they're under the direction of the devil. And that's why he has such great power. He has a host of demons to help him. And believe me, they obey him and do what he wants. Sometimes the question is raised, when were they created? When were they brought into existence? Well, we believe that the very first things that God created, they were the angels, among other things, but the angels, they were present when the earth was created. They were already created. That's given to us in Job chapter 38 and verses 4 to 7. And Job is questioning God. And so God is kind of rebuking Job. And he's putting it this way. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures of it, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are its foundations fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone? And then this is verse. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The morning stars are almost universally accepted as angels, and the sons of God are shouted for joy. They are the angelic hosts called the sons of God. They're the angels. So the angels were created sometime before the creation of the world. God created the angels and then before the world, so far as the Bible is concerned. And God never created any sins. A number of them went into sin and followed after Satan. But once God created the angels, that was it. No more. So far as the Bible is concerned, the number of angels never change. And angels never die. They are eternal. Their number remains the same. And someone asked the question, how many angels are there? How many good angels are there anyway? Well, the number is beyond our comprehension. How many angels are there? Hebrews 12, verse 22, we are told that we've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Thousands and thousands, millions of angels gathered for a great festival that they had at Mount Sinai. 10,000 angels came down on Mount Sinai to confirm the holy presence of God as he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. And in one of Daniel's visions in Babylon, he saw God, whom he called the Ancient of Days, on a flaming throne surrounded by angelic hosts, angelic beings. And this is what he says in Daniel 7, verse 10. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. 10,000. Again, it's talked about in Revelation 5, verse 11. It says, when I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, they encircled the throne. 10,000 times 10,000 means 100 million. 10,000 times 10,000. In other words, God is telling us that there are angels in the number beyond our count and our comprehension, these wonderful angels. And then another thing about these angels, they are very powerful. They are very strong. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, it says, when the Lord Jesus shall return, reveal, revealed from heaven with the mighty angels. Mighty. David comments on this fact. Psalm 103 and verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. Angels are more powerful than men. One angel killed 185,000 Assyrian enemies of Israel in one single night. That's in Isaiah 37, verse 36. And it was an angel that went through the land of Egypt and slew the firstborn in every household. One angel. Exodus chapter 12, he's called the destroyer. It was one angel who came back and rolled that big stone from the tomb. It took several men to put it there. One angel rolls it back without any effort at all. It was an angel who smote King Herod, and he was eaten by worms because he refused to acknowledge God as God. Acts 12, verse 23. So they have tremendous power. So put the two together. Millions upon unnumbered millions of angels, and they're all powerful and mighty, and they're all under the direction of God and his care. It's unbelievable. We can't comprehend it. When we get to heaven, we'll see. We'll know all about it. Now let's look at some of the characteristics of the angels. For instance, some things about angels. First of all, there are no female angels. They're all masculine. There is not one single instance of a female angel in the Bible. Send me the scripture if you have it. It isn't there. We see the pictures of female angels all over the place. When we look at Christmas cards, they're all over the place. But when you come to the Bible, no female angel in the Bible. In the Bible, angels are always represented as being masculine. They are always referred to as men, never women. And I'm sorry about that for female people. But that's what God says. That's what the Bible says. And these angels are sexual beings, and they're always male. And since they're all males, there's no marriage in heaven. And there are no baby angels in heaven born. We're told in Matthew 22, verse 30, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. Now on earth, they have different rules and regulations, but I'm telling you what God says. And God says one man and one woman. And in heaven, there's just men, just the masculine gender. So, and I just would love to have your verse. If you got a Bible, you got a verse, get it out of the Bible. Don't bring it from somebody else. Somebody says some prophet or some vision or something like that. We don't go by that. And then let's look at this. There is no proof that angels have wings. Not at all. There's in the Bible, there are cherubim and seraphim, and they have wings. But they're a special creation of God. And they always attend the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and in the temple. There's no scriptural proof, no place in the Bible that angels have wings. And did you ever stop to think of this? Jesus, in his resurrected body, after he's raised from the dead, he's here 40 days, and then he ascends into heaven, and he ascends no wings. And when we die and our body's buried and the Lord comes again and raises our body, those bodies will just go to be with the Lord in heaven and gather with the Lord. No wings needed. When we're going to be like the resurrected Christ, he didn't have wings and we won't have either. God tells us too that these wings, these angels here, to minister to us and to help us. And so the angels are watching over us. The angels are helping us. And sometimes, you know, you had a close call, your life was spared. Angels were watching over you. Angels were caring for you. And I think that the little children, the angels, are always there watching. So in Hebrews 1, verses 13 and 14, we're told, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" God tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3, that we're not going to be angels. We're going to judge the angels. And as a separate group between the two, these angels minister to the believers and help the believers, but we will stand in judgment and judge the angels. Do you feel downhearted and discouraged today? Do you feel, do you have health problems or financial problems, or maybe you have something else? Well, just remember this, that God's angels are watching over you, and God watches over us, and he sends us. And when we accept the Lord Jesus, he tells to the angels, "You follow that man, that woman, that little boy, that girl. As long as they live, the angels of our God are there." But do you know what? The unsaved have rejected Jesus as Savior. They have a different destiny described by Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 25, 41. "Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And so all of these people, you're going to be a follower of the devil. You're rejecting Jesus Christ. That's what you're going to hear. But in Revelation, Matthew 25, 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternity, eternal." So we're going to spend eternity with the angels of God or the angels of the devil. We're going to be in one of those two groups, and you know what? You're going to decide it. It's your decision, all your decision. And so you need to be very careful, my friend, that you have Jesus. And I just want to add really quickly that the Holy Spirit does not indwell angels. The Holy Spirit indwells us, not the angels, just the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Glorify God." God's Spirit dwells us, but not the angels. And so God says that the time is going to come when the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he sends the Holy Spirit into all the world. And he says he's going, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so this is what happens. Here we come, and I'm preaching the Bible. And I preach the Bible, and it goes all over the world. And the Holy Spirit takes it all over the world. And he applies it to this person. Maybe they have a problem or they're a thief. Maybe this is a problem with a jealous person. This problem is another problem. Maybe this is an unbelief, a terrible unbelief. And the Holy Spirit ministers. He convicts of sin and judgment and righteousness. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And I know right now, right this minute, I know that the Holy Spirit is talking to multitudes of you all over the world. All over the world, no matter what your language is, he knows all the languages, he knows all the hearts, and he's convicting you of sin. Why? So you'll come to Jesus. That's the reason. He doesn't do that just to make you feel bad and miserable. He wants to make you feel so miserable you come to Jesus and you say, "Oh, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sins." That's what he wants you to do, and that's what we're doing today. That's why we're preaching this word the best we can, and it isn't very good in some spots. It's pretty shabby, but the message is there, and it's as sincere as I can possibly make it, that you don't have Jesus and you're in your sins. You're going to go to hell. That's what Jesus said. You said, "Well, that's not nice to say." I know it isn't nice, but it's the sweetest, nicest thing I can tell you. I'm warning you, turn to Jesus. And this is what you do. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Take away my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. And I'll forsake my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. If you did that, then you write to us, Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You write to us. Or you can get us on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you want that film that will help you, that helped you come to know the Lord, maybe your friends could do that. If you want the Bible study, if you want this sermon, it's on CD and DVD. We send it free and on a free will offering basis, but you'll have to write and let us know. And we're just praying that you'll do that because you have to have Jesus. And so now I'm going to pray, dear Jesus. I'm praying today and for the persecuted church, for one thing, the persecuted church in Egypt. There we're listening to this sermon. They're a part of our congregation, and we love them so much, and we pray for them. Don't give up. And they're encouragement to us. Pray for those on beds of sickness. Pray for those who lost loved ones. Pray for those who are lonely. Pray for the young people, dear Jesus, and the children, the precious children, that they'll open their heart to the Savior. That simple prayer of a simple little child, that's what I did, 10 years old. You've been with us 87 years. Praise Jesus. Help them to come in Jesus' name, amen. So now we need to hear from you. We need to have your support, your prayers. We need to have your gifts. We have all our income as God's people. And if you want that film, you can just send a free will offering for that. If you want the Bible study, if you want our little Bible study, we'll be glad to send that or any of the CDs. Just if you don't have any money, you're dead broke, just write to us. We're here from prisoners, don't have money. We'll send it just the same. And so now before we go, remember God loves you. Just think of Jesus on the cross. That's how much he loved you. Christian Worship Hour for over 40 years. We've been preaching because we love you. And I know that that's why I'm in the business, because I want you to come to Jesus. I have been preaching now for almost 75 years, and it's always Jesus, and it's because I love you. And so you just remember that. And next week, we'll look together, and we'll worship together. And maybe as a new Christian, there you'll be worshiping with us. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.